All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So we left off Daf Mem Amud Beis. All right, so the Mishnah spoke about the idea that Novlos, one makes a bracha of Shakol Nieh B'dvaro. So the Gemara now is discussing what exactly is the definition of Novlos. So let's begin. 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. Ella benovlos stamos. Remember again, we had two definitions of novlos. One was the boshli de karmel, these dates that were scorched by the sun, and the others had the lashon was tamri de zeka, so dates that were blown off the tree by the wind. So the Gemara says like this: Ella benovlos stamos kuli amalo pligi de boshli karmelinu. When the Gemara just uses the unqualified word novlos, everyone agrees that refers to sun-scorched dates. Ki pligi, when do they argue? Benovlos tamra. When the Gemara or the Mishnah uses a lashon of novlos tamra. Disnan. So the Gemara gives an example. We learned in the Mishnah on demai. Hakalan shebe demai. The lenient items when it comes to demai. So we'll say a word about demai. So we know that halacha lemaisa, when a person has produce, they're obligated to take trumos and maestros from it. There was a concern that ame ha'aretz. So uneducated people were not necessarily separating out trumos and maestros. But yet we didn't know that for sure. So the issue was that when you purchase produce from an ame ha'aretz, you would tithe it misafik. So the produce of the ame ha'aretz is called demai, which is a contraction of do-mai. What is this? We are unsure of the status. Therefore, because of the suffix, we go ahead and we tithe it. But there are certain things that we are very makele with demai, really because they're so cheap. They don't have that much value that there's no reason why an ame ha'aretz wouldn't tithe it. Meaning, the issue of reason why ame ha'aretz wouldn't tithe it is because obviously if you tithe something, you have to give part of it away. If it's so cheap that it doesn't really make a bottom line difference to you, if you tithe it, we assume even an ame ha'aretz does it. So the Gemara, for example, what are the kalin shebidmai? So the Gemara says, shisin, rimin, ozrin, benos shuach, ubenos shikma. We'll define all these terms in just a moment. The gufnin, the nitzpa, the novlos tamra. So the Gemara says, what are all these things? Shisin, amra barachan rabbi yochanan, min te'enim. So shisin are a type of fig. Rimin, kande. Rinin is the lotus plant. Ha'oz rodin tulshe. Ozradin are sorb apples. Toshe are sorb apples. Binos shuach, amra barachan rabbi yochanan, te'eni chiyurta, white figs. Binos shikma, am rabbi yochanan, duvli gufnin. Excuse me, duvli are sycamore figs. Gufnin, shilhi gufni. So gufnin refers to late harvest grapes. Nitzba pircha, nitzba we already had before, that's the caper berries. Novlos tamra. No, what are novlos tamra? Rabbi Eloi, Rabbi Zera, chad amri bushli karma, v'chad amri tamri dezeka. So what are novlos tamra? Rabbi Eloi and Rabbi Zera have a machlokes. One says that it refers to sun-scorched dates, and the other one says that it refers to wind, to dates blown off the tree by the wind. Bishlon l'man damar boshli karma. So I understand, according to the opinion who holds, that it's boshli karma, that it's sun-scorched dates. Hainu diktani akalan shebitmai sveikon hu depoter. Hava do'in chayiv. Because then, what the Mishnah is saying is like this. That if you have a suffix whether or not these items were tithed, then you have to tithe them again. That you would not tithe them again. These are the kalin shevitmai. But if you knew for sure they were not tithed, then halacha l'maaseh, you would take trumas and maasos from it. However, the Gemara says, Ela l'man da'amar tamri tezeka vado'in chayiv hefkerin inhu. But if you hold that boshle karma, if you hold that novlos, are wind-swept dates, right? That they're blown off the tree by the wind, then why would they ever be chayiv in trumos and maestros after all their hefker? Shibo said, the assumption over here is that when the date is blown off the tree, so the owner is minash, the owner doesn't have anything to do with it, and therefore, halacha l'maisa, it's hefker. Once it's hefker, it's not chayiv in trumos and maestros, to which the Gemara says, hacha b'mayaskinan sha'asar and gorin. What's the case over here? The case over here is where a person gathered all of the dates blown off the tree into a pile. When you gather it into a pile, then halacha l'maisa, that shows that your intention is to go ahead and hold on to it. Once you show that your intention is to go ahead and hold on to it, then by definition it's no longer hefker. Once it's no longer hefker, it's subject to trumos and maestros. Do amar Rabbi Yitzchak amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov haleket va'shicha va'peah shasan goren hukvu l'maiser, because after all they said that even leket shicha and peah, which are tithes for the poor, that are normally not subject to any kind of laws in Shmos and Maestros, once you go ahead and asa on Goren, once you gather them into a pile which indicates that you are keeping them, halocha b'maisa, you're chayav in Shmos and Maestros. So the Gemara says like this, Ike de Amri, bishla, on top of Mem Aleph. So remember, let's come back so we're all on the same page with this, what we're trying to accomplish over here. The Mishnah told us that novlos, you make a shahakol. We're trying to figure out what exactly are novlos. We have this machlokes. Is it boshle karma? Is it dates that were burnt by the sun? Or is it tamri dezeka? Or ultimately, is it dates that were blown off the tree by the wind? The Gemara is trying to bring this particular Mishnah and Peah to try to give us a definition. So the Gemara says, Bishlach tav mem aleph. Bishlach leman damar tamri dezeka. Haidu dehacha karli novlos tamar. Vahasam karli tamra. So the Gemara says like this. I understand if you go with the approach that novlos are tamri dezeka, that novlos are dates that were blown off the tree. Because then, over here, it calls it novlos stama. So in our Mishnah, it just calls it novlos. And novlos stama, righteous unqualified novlos, refers to sun-scorched dates. Vahasam karli tamra. And over here in the Mishnah in Demai, it calls it tamra, because over here it's referring to vahasam karli tamra. Right. Again, one more time. Bishlamad Tamri de Zega, Hainu Dahaka Karli Novostama, Vahasam Karli Tamra. So if you hold that it's windswept dates, it makes sense over here because that's why the Mishnayos use two different words. Our Mishnah calls it unqualified novlos, versus the Mishnah in Demai calls it novlos tamra. Ella Lamadamra Boshle Kama Nisni Idivi Idi Novlos Tamra, O Idivi Idi Novlos Stama. But according to the Mandam rule, holds that it's boshle karma, that novlos always means sun-scorched dates. Then what? Why? The Gemara should just choose one phraseology. Either always call it novlos, or always call it novlos tamra. So the Gemara says, inachinami, that's ikasha. So we'll say, bottom line, halacha l'maaseh, for our purposes, what is the novlos of our Mishnah? The novlos of our Mishnah is boshle karma, sun-scorched dates. That the Mishnah paskins that once the dates have been burnt out by the sun, they've lost some of their date-like quality, it's still edible, but it loses its bori priya eitz, and it becomes a shahakol niyabitvara. Hayu lefanav minin harbe. If a person had many different types of food in front of them, so the Gemara, if you remember again, so this was the Machlokes in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said, Rabbi Huda says, if you have one of the seven species, you make a bracha on that, and the Chacham say you make a bracha on whatever you want. So says the Gemara the following. Machlokes b'shevir chosei and shavos. The Machlokes is when you're dealing with two items that have the similar bracha. The same bracha. The Rabbi Huda Savar, Rabbi Huda holds, min shiva adif. Rabbi Huda holds that when you have two items that have the same bracha, how do you decide which one to make the bracha on? You make the bracha on the item that is of the Shiva Saminim. On the Shiva Saminim. Rabbanan Sabri min chaviv adif. Rabbanan, on the other hand, say no, that which is more chaviv, that which is literally more special to you, is what you make the bracha on. Ava b'sha'in b'chosein shavos, but when you have items that have this similar brachos, divrei hakol, mevarich alzeh, v'chozer u'mevarich alzeh. Everyone agrees that what? You make a bracha on whichever one you want, because at the end of the day, what has to happen? You still have to make two separate brachos. So also, according to this version in the Gemara, the fundamental machlokis is only when you have, let's say, for example, you have apples and grapes. Apples and grapes. It happens to be you like apples more than grapes. The issue over here is you're only going to make one ha'etz. So the shayla is, which item should you make the ha'etz over? So Rabbi Huda holds the grapes, because grapes are shivas aminim, apples are not. The Rabbanan hold apples, because apples are what you like better. But everyone agrees that if you had an apple and a potato, that halacha l'maaseh, this whole issue doesn't apply. Why? Because since you're going to have to make two brachos anyway, the truth is the order doesn't matter. Although we'll see later on the order does matter also. Meisvei, how you lefanav tznon v'zayis? So the Gemara raises the question. If a person has in front of them, tznon is a radish, zayis is an olive. So tznon ha'adama and non shiva saminim, and zayis ha'it shiva saminim. So the halacha is mevarich ala tznon upolder es azayis. So the Mishnah, so the Gemara over here rules that you make a bracha on the radish, and you could exempt the olive. So we'll say it's a strange case, because what about the fact that they're two dissimilar brachos? So the Gemara says hakav ma'askin. And what's the case over here? Kishatznon iker. What you're really eating is the radish. So we'll say sometimes the radish was so sharp that you had to eat something else to blunt the sharpness of the radish. what would you eat to blunt the sharpness of the radish? You would end up eating the olive. So we're talking about over here a situation where you're really eating the radish. The olive is only being eaten to blunt the taste of the radish. Therefore, the radish is the ikr. The radish is the ikr. The olive is the tafel. You make a bracha on the ikr, a pater is the tafel. Ihachi, Ema Sefer, Rabbi Huda Omer. Mevarich ala zayi shazaitim in Shiva. Lastly, the Rabbi Yehuda had this nan kol shu ikar v'mot tefillah mavarech al ikar poldras atfillah. But what do you do at the end of that brisa? Because the end of the brisa says that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you make a bracha on the olive because the olive is from Shiva Saminim. But does Rabbi Yehuda not hold of the idea of ikar v'tafel? Does Rabbi Yehuda not hold of this idea that we said that when every thing that is primary and it's accompanied by a secondary item, you make a bracha on the primary item and exempt the secondary item? So the Gemara says, maybe you'll be tempted to say, maybe Rabbi Huda does not hold of the concept of Iker and Tafel. Well, that's not true. V'hatanya, Rabbi Huda Omer, imachmas tznon v'hazayis, mevarech ala tznon upotiras hazayis, but Rabbi Huda is explicitly on record as saying what? That if the only reason you're eating the olive is to blunt the sharpness of the radish, then what? You make a bracha on the radish and you patra the zayis. So the Gemara says, you're right. The olam bitznon ikar askinon. In reality, the case over here is talking about a situation of where your primary intention is to eat the radish. And the only reason you're eating the olive is why? To blunt the sharpness. V'chi pligi Rabbi Yehuda v'rabanon, b'milsa achrisi pligi, v'chi suri mechzor v'hachi katoni. In reality, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon have a separate machlokes, and the Mishnah is missing part of the text, but this is what it means to say. Hayu lefanav tznon v'zayis. Case number one. A person has in front of them a radish and an aleph. Mevarich ala tznon upotres hazayis. So how does the Mishnah rule? You make a bracha on the radish and you exempt the aleph. B'metram amurim. When is that true? Kishat tznon ikar. That's when your primary thing over here is the radish, right? What you want to eat is the radish. And therefore what? The only reason you're eating the aleph is to blunt the sharpness of the radish. But if the radish is not the ikar, right? Meaning you're eating both the radish and the olive because you want to eat both of them. Divrei hakol mevarich al zeh v'chozer u'mevarich al zeh. Everyone agrees that what? Two separate brachos, and in terms of order, whatever you want. Whatever you want. Ushnei minin ba'alma. So that's cases number one and two. So case number one is where you only want the radish and you're only eating the olive to blunt the sharpness. Make a bracha on the radish, exempt the olive. Case number two, you want both of them. You need two brachos. Order is whatever you want. Case number three. Ushnei minin ba'alma. You have two items with this similar bracha. Excuse me. Ushnei minin ba'alma. You have two items. Shabir Chosei and Shavos. That have the same bracha, mevarich al eza mehen sheyirta. So two items with the same bracha, apple and grapes. So Tanakhama says, make whatever bracha you want. Right, you're only going to make one ha'etz, obviously. So make it over whichever one you want. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, mevarich al azayis, shazayis mimin shiva. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you make the bracha on the olive, because the olive is shiva saminin. So we'll say this becomes the fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. Simply in the case of two items, same bracha, one is the Shiva Saminim, but the one that is the Shiva Saminim is not necessarily the one that's more chavid, that's more special, the one that you like. Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't matter, Shiva Saminim always goes first. Rabbanan say chavid, the one that you like goes first. But two dissimilar brachos, all bets are off, you have to make two brachos anyway, so the order at least right now is inconsequential. Pligi bar Rabbi Ami Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha, of course, also we know is a blacksmith. So amazingly enough, you know, in the times of the Gemara, it didn't matter if you were a Tana or you were an Amora, right? So being a Tana and Amora did not come with a full-time salary and benefits. So even, you know, Rabbi Yitzchak was a blacksmith. We saw it in the Gemara also with Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. All right, so Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha, Chad Amar Machlokes, Kishabeh Hosein Shabbos. One opinion said the machlokes in Rabbi Huda and Rabbanon is when you have items with the same bracha. So Rabbi Huda sarah min shiva adif, Rabbanon sarah min chaviv adif. Rabbi Huda holds that the item that shiva saminim takes precedence. The Rabbanon holds the item that you want more takes precedence. Aval b'she'in b'chosei and shavos, divrei hakol mevarech hazeh v'chozer u'mevarech hazeh. But when you have two dissimilar brachos, everyone agrees there's no order. Since you're going to have to end up making two brachos. Anyway, make the bracha over whichever items you want, and then go back and make the other bracha as well. The Chad Amar, the other opinion said, The other opinion said, no, even when items have dissimilar brachos, they're still a machlokes. So Bishlama, so we'll say, interestingly enough, according to this, well, the Gemara will explain this. Bishlama l'man d'amar b'shur b'chosein shavos machlokes shapir. So I understand the man d'amar who holds that the machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanon is limited to a case of b'chosein shavos. I understand, because then the real issue is you're only ending up making one bracha. Which item should you make the bracha over? Ella l'man d'amar b'shein b'chosein shavos pligi b'may pligi. So, but according to Mandarin, who holds that the machlokes applies even when what? When you have two items of dissimilar brachos, I don't understand. What's the machlokes? At the end of the day, you're still what? Going to have to make two brachos. So what are they arguing about? To which the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Yirmiya lahakdim. What they're arguing about, Rabbi Yirmiya, is which bracha should come first. Right? Granted, we're going to be making both brachos, but which bracha should be made first? Listen to this. Am Rav Yosef, v'itim Rav Yitzchak, kala muktam bepasuk zeh, muktam lebracha. So also listen to this. So Rav Yitzchak says, whatever is mentioned earlier in the pasuk is make the bracha. The earlier you're mentioned in the pasuk, the more kedimos, the more priority your bracha has. So what's the pasuk the Gemara is referring to? Eretz chita usaora vegeven uteina verimon, eretz zeis shemen udvash. It's a land of wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, a land of olive oil, which is olives, and dvash, which is dates. The pasuk of the Shiva Saminim. So the Gemara now is going to suggest the following, that according to Rabbi Yitzchak, halacha lemaisa, the order of that pasuk is not random. The Torah itself is giving us an order for food items. So that even if you have items with a dissimilar bracha, right, two different items, it's not just whichever bracha you want you make first, but rather we look at the order in the pasuk. And the earlier you are in the pasuk, the more kedimas, the more priority you have for bracha purposes. So the Gemara says, upliga to Rabbi Hanan. And this argues on Rabbi Hanan. Why? Because Rabbi Hanan has a different interpretation of the pasuk. Then Rabbi Hanan, kala pasuk kula l'shi'urin ne'emar. So Rabbi Hanan also has a fascinating approach. He says that this entire pasuk is brought to teach us different shi'urim. It's brought to teach us different measurements. What are the measurements? So listen to this. Ne'emar chita. So what does chita teach us? Disnan hanichnas lebayis hamenuga. If someone walks into a house that has tzaras, we know that a house could contract tzaras as well. Now, when you have a house that has tzaras, the house is tamei, and if you enter into the house, you could also become tamei. So the Gemara qualifies this. He says like this: if a person walks into a house, v'kelav al ksefav, v'sandalav v'tabaosav biyadav, hu v'hein tmein miyat. So we'll say, interestingly, if a person walks into a house with tzaras, and instead of wearing his clothing, he's holding his clothing. He's holding his clothing. So he's holding literally his clothing in his hands, his rings in his hand, everything in his hands. So halacha lemaisa, he and his clothing become tamei immediately. All right. On the other hand, hayolavush kela v'sandala beraglav. If a person walked into a house with tzaras and he was wearing his clothing, right, literally his clothing, his sandals, v'tabaosa v'tzvaosa, and his rings on his fingers, hu tamei miyad. He, meaning his body, becomes tamei immediately. Vehein tahorin ad sheyishe b'chtei achilas pras. But his clothing only becomes tamei once what? Once he remains in the home long enough to eat achilas pras. What is achilas pras? Achilas pras literally means a snack. So we'll say, this is all based on the Gemara learns it's based on psukim. So we're not going to get into the technicalities of it right now. But the point over here is why this is important for us. See, if you're wearing your clothing, your body becomes tamei immediately, but your clothing only becomes tamei if you stay in the house long enough to eat achilas pras, a snack. And what is a snack? So the Gemara says, pas chitin velo pas seorim, is the time that it takes to eat half a loaf of wheat bread and not barley bread. Mesa, while in a state of reclining, va'ochlan, because reclining, I guess you can eat it faster than standing, va'ochlan beliftan, and you eat it, with some type of condiment, right? Some type of something you dip it in. So the Gemara therefore says, from chita, you learn out what? That the shear for your clothing to become tamei, if you enter into a house with tzaras, if assuming you're wearing your clothing, is the amount of time that it would take to eat a half a loaf of wheat bread. Okay. What do we learn from Sa'ora? Sa'ora disnan, etzem ki Sa'ora mitame b'mago b'masa. That if you have a bone fragment that is the size of a barley kernel, so that bone fragment transmits tumma to you if you either touch it or if you're carrying it. Ve'eno mitame ba'ohel. But a bone fragment of such a small size does not convey tumas ohel. Gefen, what do we learn from Gefen? Kidei revius yayin lenazir. That if a person took upon themselves a neder nezirus, that halacha lemaisa, the nezirus is broken or the nezirus is violated if one consumes either a liquid shear of a revius or even a solid volume of a revius. Okay, te'ena, what do we learn from te'ena? Kigrogeres lotza shabbos. Te'ena teaches us that if you carry, so we know that there's an Isra of Hotsa on Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So the interesting question over here is how much do you have to carry in order to be in violation of Shabbos? So Te'ena teaches us you have to carry the amount of a dried fig. It has to be the size of a dried fig. Anything less than that is insignificant, and you would not be in violation of Shabbos. Rimo, what do we learn for pomegranate? Kidisnan, kol klei bali batim, shi'uran, on the base, shi'uran karimonim. Well, so interestingly enough, if you have a utensil, and the utensil becomes tame, if the utensil is rendered no longer usable, the utensil loses its status as a utensil, and by losing its status as a utensil, it also loses its tumma status. So, for example, if you had a utensil, the easiest way to purify it from its tara status was to make a hole in it so big that it's no longer usable. So the Gemara says that a regular balabas was very makbid with their utensils, and even if it had a hole, they would still use it. The only time a person would really stop using their utensil is if it had a hole that was as big as a pomegranate. Because if it had a hole as big as a pomegranate, then you really couldn't use it for anything. Because as long as the hole was at least smaller than a pomegranate, you could always use it for what? Holding pomegranates, right? But once it got to the shear of a pomegranate, what are you going to use? Hold a basketball and sing? Well, you know, so at that point in time, so Rimon teaches us that once you make a hole in the kli the size of a pomegranate, it loses its status as a kli, which means it loses its status as a utensil. Eretz Zeis Shemen. What do we learn from this phrase of Eretz Zeis Shemen? Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Eretz Shekol Shiure Kizaisen. A land where all of its measurements are like are a kizayis. So the Gemara says, "Kol shiure sakadaitcha." What do you mean, all of its shiurim? V'ha ikahanach ta'amron. What about all of the measurements we just said before, just a moment ago, that were not a kizayis? To which the Gemara says, "You're right. Eretz zeis shemen teaches us ella eretz sherov shiurei kizayisim." Rather, it means that Eretz Yisrael is a land whose the majority of its shiurim are a kizayis. Generally, when we have a shiur of something, it's a kizayis. Except, of course, in these previous situations that are different. So the Gemara says the following. Dvash, what do we learn from dvash? Dvash, of course, doesn't refer to honey as much as it refers to dates. Ki koseves hagasa b'yom kippurim. So dvash teaches us that what? That the shear for eating on Yom Kippur is the size of a large date. So the Gemara says, v'idat shavosai, so remember, so let's go back for just a moment. So the Gemara now is suggesting the following. The Gemara now, just let's reorient ourselves. So here's what we know. The machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan is in the case of Birchos and Shavos, where you have two items that have the same bracha. One of the items happens to be Shivas Aminin, but the other is the chavav, the other is the item you want. So what do you do in such a situation? Rabbi Yehuda holds that you always go Shivas Aminin, seven species of Eretz Yisrael always have precedence, and therefore Aloch Lamaisi make the bracha on that. The Rabbanan say chavav, you make it on whichever one you want. But now what the Gemara is suggesting is that the machlokis might even spill over into the case of She'ein Birchosei and Shavos, where the brachos are not the same. Why would there be a machlokis? So what would be the machlokis? The machlokis, there would also be a machlokis in bracha priority. Where do we see that there's a concept of bracha priority with dissimilar brachos? So the Gemara suggests after Rabbi Yitzchak, because Rabbi Chanan paskins on this, or I should say darshans on this pasuk of the Shiva Saminim, that the pasuk, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yitzchak, because Rabbi Yitzchak holds that the essence of the bracha of Shiva Saminim is to teach us in order of brachos. Chita, Sa'ora, Gefen, Te'ena, Rimon. The Gemara says, that's interesting because you should just know that means Rabbi Yitzchak is arguing on Rabbi Hanan. Because Rabbi Hanan has a different drasha in the Pasuk. Because Rabbi Hanan understands that what? The Pasuk of the Shivas Haminim teaches us all of these different shiurim that we just went through. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, so Rabbi Yitzchak, who darshins the Pasuk of the Shivas Haminim to teach you the order of brachos, will tell you something very simple. Rabbi Yitzchak will say, Hani shiurim, v'idach. Idach means the other opinion. That's Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak, who uses this pasuk to teach us the order of brachos, so he'll say to Rav Hanan, Hani shi'urin behejim iksivi. Rav Hanan, come on. Does the pasuk actually say any of that stuff you just said? Right? All the pasuk does is it enumerates the seven species of Eretz Yisrael. Does it say anything about all of the right? Where do you get that chita means that you're only chayiv wearing clothing in a house that has saras? You're only chayiv if you stay there long enough to eat achilas pras of a half a loaf of wheat bread. It's a little bit of a stretch. So the Gemara says elamid rabbanon. So Rabbi Yitzchak will say, Rabbi Hanan, you have to admit that all of the things that you just extrapolated from that pasuk are really rabbinic. Ukra asmachta ba'alma. So we'll say you have this concept that when Chazal codify a halacha, what they like to try to do is find like a biblical hook to hang their hat on. That's an asmachta. The pasuk isn't literally teaching us what Chazal are telling us, but it references it. It's an allusion to it. So Rav Chista. So therefore halacha l'maisa, Rav Yitzchak will go ahead and tell Rav Hanan like this. Listen, shkoyach. Beautiful drasha. We both know that's not really what the pasuk is saying, because all the halachos you just learned out of Midrabanan, the Rabbanan found a scriptural allusion for their pasuk, but that's not what the pasuk is really teaching us. What is the pasuk really teaching us? The order of blessings, the order of brachos. The chita, seora, gefen, teina is teaching us a bracha hierarchy, so that therefore, even b'she'en birchos se'en shavos, even when you have two food items of this similar brachos, halach l'maisa, there may still be a machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. So Rav Chista and Rav Hamnuna, hava yasi b'su'dasa, Rav Chista and Rav Hamnuna were sitting in a meal together, and what happens? Aisu l'kamayhu tamri, v'rimoni. They brought before them dates and rimond, and pomegranates. Shakur Rav Hamnuna, Baruch Atmari Bereisha. So Rav Hamnuna went ahead and made the bracha on the dates first. Now, also remember, both are ha'eitz. Now, so comes along Rav Hamnuna and he takes the date first. Amali Rav Chista, Lo Sfir Le Mar Lehoda Amar Rav Yosef Yitim Rav Yitzchak, Kol Amuktam Bepasik Zeh, Kodem Lebracha. So says Rav Chista Rav Hamnuna, I don't understand. Why did you take the date first? Do you not hold with the ruling of Rabbi Yitzchak, who says that the pasuk is to teach us the order? So Rabbi said, then if you have a date and you have a rimon, which comes first? Right? Rimon. Right? Remember, is Eretz Zeis Shemen Udvash. Dvash is the last item mentioned in the pasuk. So Rav Hamnuna, Rav Chista says to Rav Hamnuna, why are you making the bracha on the date? So listen to this. Amrlei, Zeh Sheni La'aretz, Vezeh Hamishi La'aretz. So interestingly enough, Rav Hamnuna says something fascinating. Rav Hamnuna says that the pasuk is to be divided into two parts. Why? Because the pasuk says the word Eretz twice. Eretz chita seora gefen teina v'rimo, right? Eretz zeis shemen udvash. The way the Gemara now is understanding that pasuk is the second Eretz comes along for what purpose? The second Eretz comes along almost to create a new pasuk. So the hierarchy is really established from your relationship to the word Eretz. So therefore, Rav Hamnuna said like this. Rimon is Eretz Chita Seora Gefen Teina Rimon, right? Rimon is five from Eretz versus Dvash Tmorim, which is what? Number two from the second Rimon. Therefore, Halacha Lamaisa, I accept the fact, it's not second Rimon, second Eretz. Therefore, I accept the fact that Halacha Lamaisa, the Pasuk teaches me a hierarchy, but why is the second Eretz there? The second Eretz is only there to divide the Pasuk in two, and therefore to create the hierarchy based on the relationship of the particular food item to the word Eretz. Therefore, I took the dates and made the bracha on that over the pomegranates, because dates are closer to Eretz than Rimon is to pomegranates. Then Rimon is to Eretz. To which the Gemara says, Armalei, so Rav Chista says to Rav Hamnuna, Man Yohev Lan Nagri De Parzala Ven Ashmiacha, if only I had iron feet, that I could stand here all day and learn from you. It's another way of saying Shkoyach. Itmar, Heviel Lefneim Te'inu Va'anov Mesocha Suda. So also the Gemara brings another case. If they brought before you, right, they brought before an individual, Te'inu Va'anovim, figs and grapes, in the middle of a Suda, Amar Rav Huna tu'une brachal ifnei ve'in tu'une brachal achreim. So Rav Huna said that halachal ma'aseh. So we'll say now we're going to get into a little of a different sugi over here. So now the case over here is you're in the middle of a suda and they bring you te'inim va'anovim. You're brought figs and grapes. So Rav Huna said you make a bracha beforehand, but you don't make a bracha afterwards. So what's the logic over here? So the idea is you're eating something in the midst of a su'uda that is not normally part of a regular su'uda. So people weren't eating figs and grapes in the middle of a su'uda. Therefore, also remember, whenever we speak about su'uda in the Gemara over here, this always means that you've washed, right? You've eaten bread. So the halacha is that bread only covers those items that are considered to be part and parcel of the meal. What's the definition of saying it's part and parcel of the meal? Things that are eaten together with bread. But halacha l'maisa, figs and grapes, which are not normally eaten together with bread, are not considered part of the meal. Therefore, they require their own bracha rishona, but you don't have to say a bracha achrona. Why not? Because they will be covered by birkas hamasa. They'll be covered by benching. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Rav Nachman said the same idea. You are obligated to make a bracha beforehand, but you don't have to make a bracha afterwards. They'll be covered by Birkas HaMazon. But Rav Sheshet Amar, Tu'une Bracha Bein Lefnei Bein Lacharim. Rav Sheshet says, no, you have to make a bracha before the grapes and figs, and a bracha achrona after the grapes and figs, and they are not covered by benching. She'in lecha davar she'ta'un bracha lefonov, ve'in ta'un bracha le'acharov. Because says the Gemara, or I should say, says Rav Sheshes, there is no such thing as an item that requires a bracha beforehand that doesn't require a bracha afterwards. Meaning what Rav Sheshes is saying is like this. If you're going to have to make a bracha before you eat it, which means that it's not part of the su'udah, so therefore it's not just that it's not covered by the hamotzi, but if it's not part of the su'udah, then what? It's not covered by birkas hamazon either, and you're going to have to say its own bracha. The only thing that's not like that is Ela pas haba bekisnin bilvad. So the only difference over here with this is pas haba bekisnin. Now, both sides, we're going to spend more extensive time speaking about pas haba bekisnin, but just for our purposes today, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Pas haba bekisnin. So Rashi says la'achar achila. This is talking about pas haba bekisnin. Literally means bread that comes with pockets. All right, we'll define that in just a moment. So when are you eating this la'achar achila or birkas hamazon? Often this was consumed after the meal and after benching. How you regilin the havi kisnin? They would bring these dough pockets. Vein klayos lefishe yafin lelev, and these are actually roasted grains that are good for the heart. Kidarina ba alma hani kisli demal liba umevin imayim pas shenidusha in tavlin kein ovlia shelanu. And they would bring this dough that was kneaded with all types of spices. Sometimes they would make it in the shape of birds and of trees. And you would eat a little bit of it. And they would put dates and they would put nuts. So it's very interesting. So the Gemara says like this. They would eat these, so according to Rashi, they would eat this pas haba bekisnin, which apparently was this roasted grain that also came with this dough that was kneaded with spices and dates, but apparently there was very little dough. So you would never make an ala mechia. The only thing you had to make after this was a borei nefashos. Tosos, however, takes a totally different approach to this. Tosos says that the case of pas haba bekisnin is talking about something that was actually eaten during the course of the meal. And he actually assumes that it's referring more to a mizonos item. So we're not going to get too into it now because we'll discuss pas haba bekisnin a little bit more later on. But the point that Rav Sheshes is making over here is that under normal circumstances, the only thing that does not get a bracha afterwards is pas haba bekisnin. Upligi de Rav Chia, de Amar Rav Chia, pas poteres komini macha. Okay, so let's just regroup over here. So Rav Sheshes is coming along and arguing on the previous statement in the Mishnah. Because Rav Sheshes is coming along and saying that under normal circumstances, if you're eating something that's not part of the meal, then halocha lemaisa, just like you have to make a bracha before you eat it, you have to make a bracha after you eat it as well. The only exception to that rule is pas haba bekisnin. Passover kisnin, which according to Rashi was actually eaten after the meal was concluded. And when Rosh Hashanah says that you don't have to make a bracha achrona afterwards, what he means means you don't have to make an alamichya afterwards, but you have to make a brain of fashos. Tosos has a different approach, and Tosos says no, that what it actually means is you were eating that during the meal, and when it says that you don't have to make a bracha afterwards, it means that because it was grain-based, halacha lemaisa, the bracha achrona was covered by bir kasa mazal. But otherwise, says Rav Sheshes, if you are eating grapes, or you are eating dates over the course of your meal, not only do you have to make a bracha rishona, but you also have to make a bracha achrona. Okay, so the Gemara says, Upliga, Upligi de Rav Chiya. This argues in Rav Chiya, because what does Rav Chiya say? Dem Rav Chiya, Pas poteres chomine macho. Rav Chiya says that bread exempts all items. The yayin poter chomine mashkim. And wine exempts all types of liquids. Amar Papa, so Rav Papa says, Hilchasa da aloha is, Dvarim habbaim machmas hasu'uda besoch hasu'uda. If you are eating something in the course of the meal, that is part and parcel of the meal, then what? You don't need a new bracha either before you eat the item or after. Now look at Rashi for just a moment, Rabbi Osai. The definition of this according to the Gemara is items that you would normally eat together with bread. So anything you would eat together with bread is considered to be part of the suuda, and therefore you don't have to make a bracha before. Look at Rashi, next Rashi. Into unu bracha, dahavi luhu tefila. Hilchach kol midi bein mazon bein pero sheviu leleftan, ein bo bracha lo lefon of lo leachra. Saloch lemaise, anything that is considered to be a normative part of the meal, you don't get a bracha, you don't need an additional bracha before it or afterwards. Vishalom machmas hasuda. However, whatever you eat that is not normally part of the meal, so Rashi says, for example, shalom machmas hasuda besoch hasuda, daisa v'chein kruv utradin she'eno liftan uba'in lemazun ulusova. So he gives the example of cabbage or beets, which are not normally eaten as part of the meal. So anything that you ate during the meal that is not normally part of the meal, then tu'unim bracha lifnehem, they require a bracha rishona, ve'ein tu'unim bracha lacharehem. And they do not require a bracha afterwards, because ultimately they are covered by birkas hamazon. La'achar hasu'udah, however, anything that's brought after the meal, tu'unim bracha bein lifnehem, bein la'acharehem, requires a bracha both before you eat it as well as after you eat it. So Rabbi said, the Gemara is going to question why exactly you need that statement. Is that not obvious? So Rabbi said, this is the bottom line halacha, that whatever ultimately is considered to be a normative part of the meal is covered by birkas hamazon, is covered by hamotzi for bracha rishona and birkas hamazon by bracha achrona. So where does this come up? So we'll say this comes up, let's say the contemporary issue that comes up is fruit salad. So fruit salad is a fascinating discussion among the poskim. So some say fruit is not a normative part of the meal, and therefore halacha lemaisa, you should make a bracha beforehand, before you eat the fruit salad, but you don't have to make a bracha because it's covered by the birkas hamazon. Others say it's not true, because the truth is these halachos are societally subjective. So, meaning what's considered part of the meal? What's considered part of the meal? Whatever people normally eat as part of the meal. So if it becomes commonplace to eat fruit salad over the course, as an appetizer, you have fruit, then halacha lemaisa, that is called part of the meal, and therefore you don't need to make a bracha rishona, and of course no bracha achrona. So that seems to be the predominant opinion, that halacha lemaisa, so meal standards are societally subjective, and therefore if people eat fruit, then fruit is part of the meal. So the Mishnah quotes an opinion that says the simple way to remedy this issue is that when you go ahead and you eat your first little piece of fruit salad, what should you do? Take a little piece of bread with it. Because this way, by doing that, the fruit takes on the status of lelafes boes hapas. It becomes something that's eaten together with bread. Once it becomes something that's eaten together with bread, then what? Then everyone agrees halacha lemaisa is considered to be part of the meal, and therefore there would be no bracha rishona. So okay, you could do that, but even if you don't want to do that, there's certainly what to rely upon, that since it's considered societally acceptable, same thing with sorbet, since it's societally acceptable, this is what people eat over the course of a meal, therefore it is covered by the hamotzi. One last halacha before we stop for today. Okay, we have 1 minute. No, so dessert, we're not doing desserts now. Desserts is a separate shayla. So now we'll get to that in Mirat Hashem tomorrow. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simen Reish Yud Aleph, because let's bring a little bit of closure to the machlokus between Rabbi Huda and the Rabbanon. So the Shulchan Aruch is Reish Yud Aleph. He says like this: Hayu lefan minin har peiros harbe. If a person has many different types of fruits in front of him, in Bir Chosei and Shavos, if they're, let's say they're the same bracha, v'yesh b'nei hamimin shiva. So you have apples, grapes, oranges, all heights, but one of them happens to be shivas, I mean in grapes. Maktim min shiva, afa pi she'eno chavev kama min acher. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and that even though you might like the apples better than the grapes, you make the bracha on the grapes because it's shiva saminim. However, v'im ein beinem min shiva, but if you don't have one of the shiva saminim, then what? Maktim achaviv. Then you should make the bracha over whichever one you want. V'im ein birchos tein shavas. That's case number one. So in case number one of items with same brachos, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, shiva saminim wins out. However, if their brachos are not the same, afilu yesh b'hen mimin shiva, kigon tznon v'zayis, ezo mehem sheyirtze yaktim, v'afilu eino chaviv. So halacha l'maisa, but if they are dissimilar brachos, then what? You do whatever you want. You do whatever you want, and you can even make the bracha even on the one you don't like as much. V'yesh om shegam ba'zeh tzarech l'haktim achav. However, others say that no, in a situation of dissimilar brachos, then what? Then halacha l'maisa, you should at least make the bracha on the chav of the one you want. But here's the incredible idea of Osain. We're not going to have too much time to discuss this, but he says, V'nikra chaviv, ha-min sheragil liyos chaviv alav, afilu im ata chafetz v'min hasheni. What's the definition of chaviv? Chaviv is what you like the majority of the time, even if right now it's not exactly your favorite. So we look at the statistical, right? What is your statistical chaviv? What is the item that you like the majority of the time? That becomes your halachically objective chaviv, and that's what you would make the bracha over in a case of dissimilar brachos. Now, we're not going to do this today, but I'll just give you coming attractions with this. This is not totally, this is not the end of the story. Because the Shulchan Aruch does go on to say that we are makbid on bracha specificity. And that the more specific the bracha, the more precedence that particular bracha has. But so, well, that'll be tomorrow's sukkah. But at least for now, in the Kor Machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, we pass in that again with similar brachos, if one of them is Shiva Saminim, we pass in like Rabbi Yehuda, that you make the bracha on the Shiva Saminim. With dissimilar brachos, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you doesn't matter the order, but if you can make the bracha on the chaviv being the item that you normally like under regular circumstances, you should make the bracha on that particular item. All right, so stop here. Correct, and it's in the order of Shiva Saminim, we follow the pasuk, correct? With the second Eretz modification.